My Time in the Dardanelles by Frank G. Braithwaite, late Royal Engineer. Saturday, June 19th, 1915, at midnight, the 136th Fortress Company Royal Engineers, to which I had the honour to belong, left Buxton for the Dardanelles. There was a great crowd to see us off, and I saw some awfully funny and pathetic sights. We embarked at Bristol on a troopship on Sunday, June 20th, 1915. We were packed on board like sardines. I tried to swallow a lump in my throat when I left England. After an uneventful voyage, except for an incident with a hostile submarine, we arrived at Alexandria on Saturday night, July 2nd. All night we worked at disembarking all horses, mules, and wagons. After a short stay at Alexandria, we got fresh orders to embark for the peninsula at once, so we set sail again on Wednesday, July 7th, midday. We arrived at Lemnos, an island in the Mediterranean, on Friday, July 9th. On Sunday, July 11th, four men and myself in the mounted section gone on a German prize boat with the rest of the company, and once again set sail for Cape Helles on Monday, July 12th. We heard and saw firing that night, and had a very queer feeling about the knees. Thursday, July 15th, we sailed back about 20 miles out of range, the Turkish guns too hot for us. The mounted section, consisting of four men and myself, landed at Helles on Saturday, July 24th. My feelings when I came under heavy shell fire for the first time are difficult to describe. I felt as if I could do one of two things, either to run home as fast as I could, or take Constantinople with two or three men. Thursday, August 5th, we attacked to employ as many Turks as possible, while our other army landed at Suvla Bay. We were blown back with severe punishment, and I should not like to see the list of casualties from August 6th to 9th. Sunday, August 9th, I attended my first service in the field. About 1,000 men were present, remnants from 4 or 5 regiments. The band for the hymns consisted of about 6 men with mouth organs, and the chaplain stood on a high biscuit box and beat time to the hymns, which every man let go as if he meant what he was singing. Little firing during the week. Nothing worth noting. Both sides seemed absolutely exhausted from the result of their terrible fighting. I attended another field service on Sunday, August 15th. The chaplain was very good. The text which stuck in my mind was, "In the midst of life, we are in death," and I'm hanged if he's not right. Thursday, August 19th. I saw my first soldier's funeral. It was not in the usual slap-up of a military one in peacetime. From August 19th to November 21st, things seemed quiet, our company getting smaller as the result of fighting, shortage of water, and poor grub. Sunday, November 21st. The Turks attacked us and were driven back with heavy losses, the bombardment continuing until late in the night. I was standing on a hill out of range, and it was one of the prettiest sights I've ever seen. Exactly like a huge firework display. November 13th. Our company had got down to 22 officers and men out of 104. December 1st. When we woke up in the morning, in our dugout, my chum said, "I've had a rotten dream. There's going to be some blood in this dugout." And sure enough, about 1:20, a 9.7 explosive shell dropped in among us as we were having dinner. There were 3 of us sitting there, and it smashed Corporal Mackenzie to smithereens, badly wounded my other chum, and knocked me about a trifle. As the result of my wounds, I was rendered totally blind, and this is why I am writing in this foreign language. I lay at the dressing station 2 days, the sea being too rough to get away. As we were leaving the peninsula for the hospital ship, we were given a good send-off by the Turks, but fortunately, all went wide. I was taken to Lemnos, where I was admitted to an Australian hospital. During my stay there, I had 3 operations and felt jolly cheap. At this point, I should like to say that the Australian sisters and doctors were really grand. On my birthday, January 2nd, 1916, I was 19, I was embarked on the SS Britannia for home. During my 6-day voyage, I had another operation, this making my fourth. This, added to the movement of the boat, made me feel jolly cheap. Eventually, I got to Southampton, which I had almost given up hope of ever seeing again. Immediately on arrival, I was put on a hospital train for London, the worst train ride I have ever had. On reaching Waterloo, I was put on an ambulance with the most charming sister inside, who held my hand all the way across London to St Mark's Hospital, Chelsea, arriving there about 12:30 at night. After staying there about 3 weeks, I got an invitation from Mr C.A. Pearson, who is well known in the blind world, to come to St Dunstan's Hostel for the blinded sailors and soldiers. But I was rather doubtful about accepting it, as I was so terribly homesick. I applied for a fortnight's leave, which was granted, and I went to my home at Guildford, where I spent a happy time and quite cheered my parents up. After a rest, I felt better and decided to go to St Dunstan's, to be taught a trade and some other things suitable for the blind. The house is long and low, also exceedingly large, just like a country mansion, in the heart of London. It stands in 15 acres of ground, which joins Regent's Park, so that we're able to go boating on the lake there every morning before breakfast. Although there are about 140 men at the hostel, through the kindness of several friends, and with my own personal thoughts, I can safely say that I am one of the happiest chaps at St Dunstan's.